Good morning, Bonnie. Okay. Are there any prayer requests?
Daddy and Brian and David are in Guatemala.
They're in Guatemala. Okay.
Joe
Lopez. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning, the sunshine, thank you for your goodness and mercies to us. Pray that you'd send forth laborers. Pray that you'd be with David and Wilbur and Brian in Guatemala. Bless their time there. Just let your will be done there, as well as here, as well as throughout the whole earth. Be with your people, brothers and sisters throughout the world. Help us to be faithful to you in this time of apostasy. Pray that you bless the rest of our morning here together. And bless these boys. Help them to grow up to be faithful servants to you, Lord. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Maybe we should do your assignment before we read the chapter this morning. And if I remember right, were those of you that didn't quote Psalms 15 last time supposed to do it this time? Is that correct? Yeah. So, why don't just those of you who didn't quote it last time stand up and just start with you, Jaden.
heart. Jesus does not act right with his son, or does he look to his neighbor, or does he take a fierce approach against his friend? In his Bible, God first mentions five, but he honors and he fears the Lord. He does not put out his money at his dream, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He does these things for none of the news.
Lord, you may bind his tabernacle, who may go in the holy hill. He walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not back right with his tongue.
Thank you.
live by. All right. We will read in Job, and if I remember right, it's chapter 39, is that right? I wasn't quite sure if it was 39 or 40, but is it 39? Okay. Okay, God is speaking here. You remember how Job and his friends had a lot of discourse here, back and forth, and then Elihu spoke. And now God is answering Job out of the whirlwind. I don't know if his friends are still present there or not. But anyway, God is speaking here. We just noticed how last week and this week, or the last chapter and this chapter, how God's just asking Job a lot of questions. Like, look around you and observe the things that I've done or the things that you can see and how these work and see if you can grasp it. Sometimes I think it's good if we have the time or take the time to observe nature and creation sometimes. By the time God was done speaking, Job had his hand over his mouth and said he won't speak anymore. He was just at all. Like, God, you teach me. I'll just listen. And so let's start reading here in Job 39. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock spring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking, they grow up, they form, they go forth and return not unto them. A hind is like a female red deer, I think, or some species of deer. And he's asking, do you know where and when they have their young? And what all happens out there, and they survive and thrive. And can you grasp and understand all of that? Who has sent out the wild ass free? Or who has loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house I have made the wilderness, and the barren land his dwelling? He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth the crying of the driver. The wild asses or donkeys that are, and usually these wild donkeys are in just barren wilderness, almost desert land, out in the mountains and rugged desert territory. But they're wild, and they're just roaming free, and it makes it sound like this wild ass might look down onto the domestic donkeys here in the city that are harnessed and being commanded by somebody what to do and where to go, and they don't regard any of that. They just go about the range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Verse 9 says, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? I was kind of curious, those of you who have a Septuagint, is that translated as unicorn? Because I think a unicorn mostly is just kind of a legendary creature. far as I know anyway.
My version says, run
out. I was wondering if it's not actually like a real animal that somehow got translated to unicorn. But nevertheless, it's speaking of a powerful creature, maybe with horns, that's really powerful but really wild. A unicorn is like something that's not hardly tameable or catchable. Just pretty wild but really powerful. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his bane and the furrow? Would you want to try to use unicorn to plow furrows? Or to harrow your fields, he says? Or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great? Or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? Wilt thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into thy barn? Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacock, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, and that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. An ostrich is stupid. I mean, really simple and stupid. But they're strong, and they're big and powerful and strong. I mean, they can run really fast, and they can kick really hard. But you know how chickens lay eggs, and then they tend to them, and they protect them, and they hatch them out. And then once the young ones are hatched, they guard those. If a cat or dog comes by, that chicken will really get pretty feisty, because it cares about its young ones. Ostrich just lays their egg in the dust. I think maybe they cover it up, I'm not sure, but there it is, and she just lets it go. And when it hatches, she's not interested in the young. And another thing an ostrich does, is she doesn't care at all if, you know, that egg's laying there and that some wild or something else might just break the egg or crush it. No big deal to her. And another thing the ostrich does when she sees danger, bury her head in the sand, thinking that she's free of danger. That's how stupid they are. Like, you know how a little child sometimes when they're embarrassed or have done something that they'd like not to be seen, they'll hold their hand over their eyes and think nobody sees them? Kind of like that. And that's where the term comes by, sticking your head in the sand. Like if somebody sees a problem, but they don't really want to address it because it could get ugly, so they just ignore it and act as if there's not a problem. You say they stick their head in the sand. That's where that term comes from. That's what the ostrich does. And it's because God has deprived her of wisdom. God made it that way. Neither has he imparted to her understanding. That's not what God did to us people. He gave us understanding. He gave us a mind that we could reason with. What time she lifteth up herself high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid of the grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. Most of you have probably seen a horse that, or at least pictures, some of you have seen them, I'm sure, but a horse that's really anxious to go, you know, paw on the ground and nostrils are flaring, just really ready to get to work, or if it's a battle horse, be ready to go to battle. It really wants to go to battle. It wants to go work and just release its energy and strength. And they're not scared. They won't even turn aside of you. If you walk through a field full of grasshoppers just go everywhere. They're scared of you walking by. Well, that's not how this horse is. He paweth in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder and the thunder of the captain and the shouting. Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? God's asking Job, can you do anything, or is it by your wisdom that the hawks fly? I'm sure you boys have watched hawks and vultures and eagles soar up in the sky and almost sometimes kind of wished you could be up there with them, you know? Wouldn't that be great? Anyway, the hawks do that, and they just, if you just observe some of that stuff, it's really hard to grasp almost. Oh, the handiwork of God. Does the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Okay. And I don't really have an assignment ready for you yet. Maybe I can have one by this evening. I'll try to. I kind of have something in my mind, but I'm not sure if it's really a good thing or not. But I'll think about it some more. You can go back to your seats.